Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, October 1st, the first day of October 2021, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. And we have got a lot to talk about right here off the bat this morning, but we've got 3 hours to do it during my show this morning. Then we have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m., and then I'll be back at 12:15 for the Exchange Club, 12:15 to 1 p.m. today. So don't tune away from this station, but a lot of stuff to talk about here this morning. Want to start off by talking about the news report we have on, because above all else, we want to be an education station, and we want to educate people about what's going on in the city of Marion and where we are. Now, the news report that's running every hour with the mayor is talking about the whole situation with the auditor. And basically, as that clip will state, and that clip was not edited at all, or as that clip stated, I guess I should say, yesterday, September 30th, was the date that the books needed to be reconciled. Now, I don't know if that date has been changed as far as it comes to federal money, because that's the big fight here right now. If the Marion books are not reconciled at some point, now, we all thought it was September 30th, that may have changed. If anybody knows anything, they can let me know. But the date was September the 30th, as the mayor stated in that clip, but that's not the mayor's fault if that's changed. It's not the auditor's fault. It's just maybe a date has changed. But as far as I know, it was still September the 30th, which was yesterday. And when the mayor gave that interview about 5 weeks ago, the books were not reconciled. Now, the state auditors came down the Thursday of the Popcorn Festival and met with the auditor's office. And at that time, the auditor's office told the newspaper that by September 30th, so we were still talking about the 30th date at that point, that by September the 30th, today, the books should be reconciled. So, to be informative to you, the listener, I emailed the mayor last night because I do want to get both sides. And a lot of people feel this is very one-sided. It's one-sided because one side will talk to you and one side won't. And that's just the honest truth of it. So, I emailed the mayor last night. And I emailed the auditor at exactly the same time. Matter of fact, I messaged the auditor because that's how I communicate with him, and he's always communicated back with me. Now, the mayor did communicate back with me last night, and basically my question was, it's after business hours on September 30th, tomorrow's October the 1st, have the books been reconciled? Do we know where we are in this process? What's the story? And the mayor said, no new information at all, unfortunately. So that's what the mayor said. Now, at this point, the auditor has yet to respond. So here we are. That's the news as far as that story goes, and I can't elaborate any more than that. Now, as far as what the mayor is saying in that clip about the books needing to be reconciled by September 30th so the federal money can be applied for, because federal money pays for things such as police and firefighters and police officers. It pays for the senior center, senior transportation. It pays for Marion Area Transit to a degree. I don't know where we hang now with that. Because as of yesterday, September 30th, the date we were all given, the mayor says the books are not reconciled to his knowledge. And matter of fact, he didn't seem to know anything in regard that there was any movement on that as of yesterday, and today's October the 1st. And I did email Mr. Landon, the city auditor, the same email that I sent to the mayor, word for word, and the city auditor has not responded. So, that's the news of the morning. Just want to make it clear, because we are running that clip, that is the fair and unbiased fact of what has happened. Now, if anything arises between now and the end of this show today, I will report it to you. As always, if anybody has anything to say, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But that's an ongoing story here in Marion. It's been ongoing really since the beginning of the year, and really picked up steam in the last month or so, but that's where we are. We kept hearing about September 30th. September 30th was yesterday, and now you know. I don't think anybody else is reporting on this. Now you know what happened on September 30th. Nothing, apparently. So, that's where we sit. But you have to do those things because we are an education station, we are an information station, and I know some of this stuff is cumbersome to talk about, and we'd rather talk about fun stuff, and we'd rather do giveaways all the time, but you have to do that. You've got to give the news, and that's very important to the people of Marion. So if you hear any fallout from this, that's where it started. No new news as of the morning of October 1st. Okay, phone lines open again, 740-383-9944. Want to move on to, I have to do this morning because we will not be on tomorrow morning, October the 2nd, but tomorrow is the birthday of Mary Ellen Withrow, October the 2nd. So I just want to send my best regards. I know Mary Ellen listens to the show from time to time, and I know she's doing well. I spoke with her last week. Oh, matter of fact, she was in here last week with Governor Strickland, and we were doing a television show. So I want to wish Mary Ellen the happiest birthdays. I know the city of Marion wants to wish her the happiest birthday, and hope she celebrates well tomorrow. I guess we'll call tomorrow 31. Happy number 31 to Mary Ellen. Big birthday tomorrow. Now, and I want to say this about Mary Ellen as well, because you do things like this at birthday time. Mary Ellen is one of the most down-to-earth people you will ever meet. That's what I always hear people say about her. For a person who went to the national level politically, sometimes that can give you a big head. Matter of fact, locally, it can give you a big head. When you sit there on city council and you sit down in city hall, you can get a big head at times. And to my knowledge, with me, Mary Ellen has never had that. And even after she left office, national office, people always say, well, you're friendly with Mary Ellen. Well, yeah, I am friendly with Mary Ellen, but it has nothing to do with politics, and it has nothing to do with her being the treasurer of the United States, and it has nothing to do with her age. It has to do with her spontaneity and just general loving to live life. You know, I've been to the Bratwurst Festival with Mary Ellen. I've been to the pizza place, the famous pizza place in Bellefontaine, Ohio, with Mary Ellen. I've been to Mary Ellen's house for her birthday. I've been to Stewart's Root Beer with Mary Ellen. We've just went a lot of places together, and Tony Paco's up in Toledo, and we've always had a good time, and the things did not have to do with politics at all. And Mary Ellen's just a good time. She's fun to be around, and I can see why she was elected so many times, because she's a very likable person. So, happy birthday to Mary Ellen Withrow. Tomorrow, October the 2nd, is her birthday. So if she's listening, happy birthday, Mary Ellen. All right, on to further business here this morning on WWGH Radio as we keep on flying down the path. Oh, okay. This is important. Okay, yesterday I was talking about Halloween decorations. And last night, Sean and Angie came in, to help me with the Halloween decorations. And I appreciate that. And we did get the Halloween decorations up. Now, let me tell you, the studio looks like Halloween galore. No doubt about it. We have Frankenstein, two Frankensteins on the wall. We have a witch. We have two, I don't know if they're witches, but they are kind of, what is the female version of a Dracula called? But we have two of those. We have a Dracula on the wall. We have a mummy on the wall. We have a pumpkin that lights up. We have skeletons. We have a garland made of skeleton heads and pumpkins. And we have a lighted pumpkin over the door that lights up when you turn on the lights. So we have our, the place where our guest sits is covered with cobwebs. Now, the cobwebs are interesting because last year, and for many years, being around 7.5 Halloweens now, we had a set of cobwebs, and last year people started to notice that these cobwebs had probably seen better days. So Angie, being the good person that she is, last year toward the end of Halloween went out and bought us some new cobwebs. And so really this year is the first time we've been able to display our new cobwebs, and anybody who comes into the studio is going to see that where the guest set is just covered with cobwebs. The microphones are covered with cobwebs. The books are covered with cobwebs. It's Cobweb City across from me. So it's nice to come into to a festive studio here, a holiday decorated studio here at WWGH Radio. But I want to thank Angie and Sean for coming in to do that last night, and we got them up, and we did it with a minimum no disturbance. You know, I don't want to say minimum disturbance. Really, no disturbance at all getting these up last night. But while we were here, what we ended up doing was a project that we really needed to do for a long time. A matter of fact, probably since we moved in here. Radio has a lot of cords involved. We have cords for the soundboard. We have cords for each microphone. We have cords for headsets. We have cords for cameras. We have cords for the telephone. And a lot of times they get all tangled up. And that's very annoying. Now, the only way to make sure these things, we have cords for extensions on headsets. The only way to make sure these cords do not get tangled up is to take what people in the broadcasting business call gaffer tape. Now, gaffer tape is essentially just colored duct tape. The reason you use colored duct tape is because you want people to see it and not trip on it or anything like that. So, I mentioned this about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, that we needed to do this with the studio because the cords were everywhere. And Pastor Craig, dear friend here of the station, does a show every Sunday morning, 11:10 a.m. to 12 p.m., went out and got us some gaffer tape. But I just never had the chance to get to taping down some of these cords and straightening them out so they'd be okay. Well, last night, while Sean and Angie were here, we finally did that because we had the tablecloth up and we were able to tape down the cords on the microphone. Now, really what you have to do, because microphone cords are long, and that's what causes them to get all tangled up. What you really have to do is you have to put the access cord under the table, and then you have to tape the cord to the table at a point to where there's not much cord on the table, but you still have room to move the microphone around a little bit. And essentially, that's what we did last night. But I'll tell you, Angie was a trooper in this because once you run all these cords under the table, what you don't want to have happen is somebody get their feet tangled up in the cords and then yank on them, and then everything will be pulled out and we'll be off the air. Our microphones will stop working, or headphones will stop working. That's what you don't want to have happen. So last night, Angie got a box and taped that box together and got under the table here and secured all of the cords in that box. So now if you kick the box under the table, which we hope people don't do, certainly not on purpose, but you'll just be kicking the box. Your feet will not get tangled up in the cords, and everything should be hunky-dory. So a big thank you to Angie for doing that. And for some reason, I have a frog in my throat. Let me get rid of this for a second. Ribbit, ribbit. There, now I think the frog's gone. But Angie got under the table, and she secured the cords, so now the station looks better, it's more secure, and of course we thank Pastor Craig for the gaffer duct tape. So now there are pieces of neon green and neon pink gaffer tape on the tables here that you will see, but really they're just holding things in place so we don't get in a big tangle like we have in the past. So I want to thank him for that. Now, something I want to talk about that came up yesterday on the show, and by the way, if anybody wants to weigh in this morning, feel free to get in on the conversation, 740-383-9944. Oh, and one more thing about the Halloween decorations. Have you ever put up Halloween decorations and then came in the next day and realized it didn't look just right? Well, last night, what we did, we had this big cutout of Dracula, and we hung it right next to the door, which that was fine. And then I realized we had this light-up pumpkin. Well, the pumpkin has to be plugged in. So you've got to plug the pumpkin into an outlet close to the switch so you don't leave the pumpkin running when you're not in the studio, because it'll burn out and you don't want any of those issues like catching fire. So the only real outlet that we use in the studio that we flip on and off was over by the door. Well, Dracula was already hanging there. So the pumpkin had a little bit of a cord on it. So I plugged the pumpkin in over there, and I ran the cord, so the pumpkin was hanging over top of Dracula's head. Now, last night, that looked okay. And I thought, well, that's fine, that's hunky-dory. Well, this morning I came in, and for some reason, it looked ridiculous. You had Dracula hanging by the door, you had the lighted pumpkin over his head, and they were kind of overlapping, and it just looked silly. So, I took Dracula down, and now Dracula is behind me here in the studio. Dracula looking over my shoulder, and I was able to reposition the pumpkin a little lower on the wall where Dracula had been. And it looks much better over there. So that was the last bit of Halloween decorating that needed to be done. Although I will need to decorate my house for Halloween when I get home today. And as I said yesterday, it's such a big project that I want to get it done today. So it will be up for 31 days because you do take it down on November the 1st. So I'm going to go home and try to find that box and get that stuff up this afternoon. Now, you know the key to decorating is when you put it away, it all needs to be put in the same box so you can find it easy, and you don't want anything tangled up when you put it away. That's really the key to decorating. Am I right or wrong about this? Does anybody have any tips for decorating for the season? We have the Halloween season, fall season coming up here. We have the Thanksgiving season coming up. We certainly have the Christmas season coming up. Does anybody have a theme when it comes to decorating? Or a tip? I guess you don't have a theme. You have a tip. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Well, it is Friday, you know, so I'm bound to mispronounce some things. Okay, so we've talked about the decorations, we've talked about Mary Ellen's birthday, we've talked about the auditor and the city's money. Okay, one more thing I want to talk about, because I don't get a chance to do this very often. The people who do shows on this station are great people. Now, we get together twice a year. We get together for the anniversary, the station anniversary, in June 10th, and then we get together for Christmas every year during the month of December. Now, yesterday, I had the chance, as I was sitting here in the studio waiting for Sean and Angie to show up, I listened to a little bit of Nate's show, and I had not heard Nate's show. And I thought, you know, Nate does a really good show. It's a very one-track show. It doesn't deal with news. It doesn't deal with guests. It just deals with trivia. And that's nice. It's a throwback to the old game show days. And I'm glad that Nate has phone calls and everything goes smoothly for him. I appreciate that. And I enjoyed listening to his show. And I like that he does recipes and he does things of that nature. So I got to hear Nate's show yesterday, and I just wanted to say I thought he does a tremendous job. I think he does a tremendous job. And Linda, when I got up this morning, I turned on the radio. I now have a radio next to my bed, so I don't even have to get out of bed now to turn on the radio. And I turned on the radio this morning, and Linda's show was on. Must have been on 6 to 7 this morning. And Linda was doing a show. She had two people in the studio with her, a male and a female. I'm not sure exactly who they were, but they were talking about relationships. And I thought, where else can you go and hear an interview with two people on relationships? And it was kind of fascinating. The male was talking about how women do things that they don't have to do to attract men, like wearing false eyelashes and putting on a bunch of makeup and going to tanning beds and things of that nature, that really, men don't care about that. That's not what men really care about. And the woman who was with Linda was talking about how women do think that that's very important. And it was just an interesting conversation, and Linda was doing a great job. Linda has become such a good interviewer. I have nothing but good things to say about Linda Sims. And she's been here since the beginning, and her interview skills are great. And she's doing some tremendous shows here on the station. And so is Pastor Craig on Sunday and Pastor Whitaker on Friday. I talked about Pastor Craig earlier getting us the gaffer tape and also one of the clocks here in the studio for us. Pastor Whitaker put up our railing outside and also repaired our porch when it needed to be repaired. And Pastor Whitaker usually brings me a pop on Friday when he comes in. He's just a good guy, and his show's great. So I know I'm leaving out somebody, but not on purpose. I'm thinking of what I've heard in the last few days. It's a great station to be a part of because there are great people involved and such diversity. And I'm talking about diversity in the programs. We have game shows like Nate's show, and we have talk shows that deal with relationships like Linda's show. And we have my show, which sometimes is political, sometimes is giveaway, just what's going on in the morning. And then we have Nate, or Glenn, who sometimes does interviews, sometimes does giveaways. It's a unique station, and I hope everybody enjoys it, and I certainly appreciate and enjoy everybody who is involved. So I want to say that about, because I don't normally get to hear Linda and Nate, but I did in the last 24 hours, and I think they deserve kudos. Now, something I did here on Nate's show, now this is going to have to be brought up because it was brought up yesterday on the show. It's about the prizes. Now, here's what happened. Nate, nobody ever used to mail prizes out. That was not a thing at this station. When we started to give away prizes, mainly Charlie gave away prizes, and then when Nate came along in 2018, or was it 2019? 2019. When Nate came along in 2019, he started to give away prizes. So we were giving away so many prizes that what we did was we had a prize sheet. We still have the prize sheet. But we had a prize sheet, and you would write down the name of the person, and you would write down the prize, and they would come pick up that prize. Now, the reason this was done, first of all, is because we were giving away so many prizes. You know, sometimes Charlie would give away 7 prizes in a show, and he was on 3 times a week. And then also the reason for this is, if you're giving away 7 prizes in a show, you if you're going to mail it to them, you've got to get their address. And we have new winners all the time. I'm looking at the list of people who have not picked up their prizes. Bobby, I've never met Bobby. I would have no idea what his address is. Daphne, I've never met Daphne. I would have no idea what her address is. And Ralph, I've known for a long time, but I don't know his address. And it's hard to get people's addresses because you don't want people to give them over the air. You don't want people to tell people where they live. And some people would be uncomfortable doing that anyway. Matter of fact, in the beginning, we just had people give their first name because a lot of people don't like to give their last name over the air. So the only way to do that is you have to wait until the break and then have them call in and give you their address, and then you've got to write down their address. Well, the problem with that is that we only have a 10-minute break, and sometimes you have to use the restroom, and sometimes there's somebody in the studio talking to you, or you have a guest coming up and they're already in the studio, and you can't take the time to answer the phone for 12 minutes and write down addresses for 7 people who might have won prizes. And then you have to keep everybody's address on file. It just becomes cumbersome. Now, it's fine for Nate's show because he's only doing one show a week and he's only giving away one prize. And apparently, I was told yesterday, he has a lot of repeat winners. So that's easier to do than what we do 5 days a week here on this station. It would not be practical, and also the practicality of it is, if you have a new listener, I know people can't listen hours at on end. So if you are in your car or you're at work, and we've heard a ton of people say they win at work, I think Daphne and Bobby both said they win at work. Well, you might not be free at work to call during the break and give us your address. So it just won't work if you're giving away more than one prize during the week. And also, we don't always give away gift cards. A lot of times we give away things that are bigger than that. So we would spend all our time packaging and mailing things, and it just wouldn't be practical. Now, I know the rub on this is that our hours are odd. Well, I'm going to try to fix this. When I'm on the air, you can come get a prize. I'm on the air 5 days a week from 8 to 10, guaranteed. So you know you can pick up your prize then. Linda is here Monday, Tuesday, 4 to 5. Nate is here Wednesday, 4 to 5. Most people who listen to this station know the schedule by now. So there are 3 chances from 4 to 5 if you work mornings to get your prizes in the afternoon. Glenn is here until 1 o'clock on Wednesday. He's also here till 1 o'clock on Thursday. So basically, here are the prize pickup hours. They're no less than what they ever used to be. They're just at different times. Monday, 8 to 10, 4 to 5. Tuesday, 8 to 10, 4 to 5. Wednesday, 8 to 1, 4 to 5. Thursday, 8 to 1. Friday, 8 to 1. So those are the prize pickup times here at WWGH Radio. That's 10, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 22 hours a week you can come pick up your prize. And if you have trouble during those times, call us. We have an answering machine. Or call us on the air and tell us when you can come, and we will make that adjustment as best we can, if we can. So that's the thing on mailing the prizes. All right. Now that I've blown through all that and blew away the first half hour of this show this morning, does anybody have anything to say in regard to Mary Ellen's birthday, Halloween decorations, the thing with the auditor not going anywhere yesterday, the good shows on this station, and they really are good shows. I don't say that lightly. Or the mailing of the prizes and why we don't do that. We're going to give away prizes this morning, and we'll probably give away 3 or 4 over the course of just today. And it just would be hard to mail those. But by the way, I know Ralph will come get his prize. Maybe Ralph already did. No, I don't think he did. Well, no, maybe he did, because we only have 4 here. See, now here's another problem we have. People don't cross off the names when people win a prize. I think Ralph did come get his prize yesterday. Somebody did. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, happy last quarter of 2021 to you.
Ah, my favorite time of the year. Last Not quarter. Really. Spring's my favorite time, but this is number 2.
Yeah, it's spring's my birthday, but, you know, I got the milestone birthday coming up in actually two and three quarter years. Can you believe it? I have a big milestone.
You and Terry are fighting it out.
Actually be that age. And we had a lot of milestone birthdays, actually. I just thinking about that. All.
You're not going to bring up Jimmy Carter, are you?
Oh, well, possibly. But anyway, the other three important sort of managing people at the station all had milestone birthdays, because a certain one just had one a few days ago. So I just was thinking about that.
Yes, he did. And, you know, that sadly, I did not mention that, and I'm going to do it right now. Terry Tackett, who has been with the station since early
one. That's what I said. He turned
50 this week.
Yeah, well, I was talking to our official presidentologist, you know, the curly-haired one in Florida. And yes, the gentleman that I call the peanut president, 97, I think, or 98. Yeah, 97 today.
Jimmy Carter, 97.
Just pretty amazing. He was actually president and finished his term right before you were born. I mean, I remember watching the election. My parents weren't big fans of his. And, of course, the United States was at a tough time with inflation and the energy crisis and Vietnam and Watergate being a recent memory. And he won because people kind of wanted something different. And he had a tough presidency. You know, whether or not it was his fault, you know, hard to say. The buck stops here for sure. But Carter was a good man. I think he was just too nice. And as a former president, he's become such a statesman. You know, it's still... as far as I know, still building homes and helping out people of all demographics. Still working at the church, and just amazing what he and his wife have done. And you know, whether or not you like his politics, you got to salute him as a man. It's just pretty incredible. Over 40 years ago that he left the office, and 97 today, and still going strong.
And I don't know how strong he's gone, but still gone.
Yeah, it's just pretty incredible that he, you know, your age, you know, I consider you to be fairly young. If you're younger than I am, then you're young. He was president just before you became a member of the great United States. So pretty incredible. And we sometimes look at people's, you know, Donald Trump being a case in point. Look at his career before president. And then after president, they've been actually quite different. But obviously, once you become president, your life changes permanently. And with Jimmy Carter, all that he's done, and just being a good role model, I think for all former presidents, regardless of his politics, because I'm not a big fan, but he is a nice guy.
All right, happy birthday, Jimmy Carter.
But yeah, then Marielle, I want to wish her a happy birthday. You talk about role model, Scott, and somebody we can be proud of. I was talking about this to somebody a few days ago. I remember when I used to pay my quarterly Ohio estimated taxes, that when I first started doing that, that she was the treasurer, and I would actually send it over to her, Mary Ellen Withrow, Treasurer of the United States of America. And I was thinking, oh, this is a real important person. Then I read that Bill Clinton made her the U.S. treasurer, and then she redesigned the money. And she had that cool signature, of course, on the lower left of the dollar bills. Her arm must be tired from signing all those dollar bills. But anyway, and then I'm thinking it would be unheard of that I would actually be, you know, friends, acquaintances, know people who are pretty good friends of hers. So just amazing what you can do in a later stage in life. But yeah, 91 to Mary Ellen. And
she wouldn't like you saying that. Mary Ellen, now see, Mary Ellen will jump on me for this because I've made an issue of it, but Mary Ellen was always annoyed, and I believe it still is to this day, that every time her name was printed, her age was. They don't do that to men.
Yeah, I understand. I wanted to make sure I had the right number.
That's why I said 31. I wasn't getting in that hot water.
Yeah, he had, but I looked it up. I mean, because she is so well documented.
Well, I know how old she is, but I also know she doesn't particularly like that.
Well, all I can say is she is a very, very healthy 91, and what she's done to the station and to the community, I can't use words. I don't know what words to use. But you talk about a local, living legend. That is Mary Ellen. And I've learned from her. I've learned from listening to her on the radio, just meeting her. her little memorabilia that I have, the $5 bill that she signed for me when I first met her, that is one of my prized, sentimentally valued possessions, which I like to show people. And I want to wish her the happiest of birthdays and many, many, many more. That's the best I can.
You'll be on the list now, Adam.
I can't think of any more words than that. So, Mary Ellen, if you're listening, happy birthday. You are a, previously, but not going to be mentioned again, age. You are a role model for people of all ages. And thank you so much for what you've done for the community and for the station. And time marches on, Scott. So how do you think the last quarter of 2021 is gonna treat us here in the great United States?
Well, I don't think it's gonna be particularly. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't even venture to guess at this point. I think that much of the same. I don't think that anything's gonna change. People are too set in their ways right now, and it will be what it will be. What's the song?
Que sera, sera. Yeah, the last year and a half, it has been something else. Something for the history books and for political discussions. And we have one missing link, and that's our little colleague in the city 2 hours to the northeast of us. He needs to be on the air, and that'll be a radio show for the ages, Scott.
Well, apparently we've got a... I thought you were talking about somebody else, but yes. I'm going to get to that. Yeah, I'm going to get to that because I'm not going to spend as much time on it as I did yesterday. But yesterday, as we were going off the air, there was a little bit of a controversy about that, but I'm going to save that for next hour.
And it'll certainly complete the puzzle. And I would just love to have him on. I wish he would come on. And once he does, Scott, I think he will say, why didn't I do this months ago?
Here's the thing.
Take the initiative.
I don't even know if he knows. See, that's the problem. I don't know. This Rob guy is the contact point. So to be honest with you, I don't even really know if Geraldo knows what's going on because he doesn't do his show from that studio. He does it from home, which I think is a home in Cleveland. And Rob is not his manager, I don't believe. I believe he's just his producer for the Cleveland radio show, which basically just means he gets him on the air there. So I don't know that Geraldo is aware of anything that's went on. So I can't blame Geraldo.
He should listen to your show. We have our friends in Boston. I think maybe Geraldo does listen. Maybe he's just kind of hiding out. And one day, you will come into the studio. You will see on the caller ID a number starting with 216 or 440, and he'll answer and say, good morning, Scott, this is Geraldo. You never know.
Well, I like Geraldo. Sometimes this gets lost in the saying, but I like his journalism. Now, what he does now on Fox, he's a commentator. I don't particularly care for that screaming, yelling commentator thing. But honestly, when he was a journalist on 2020, when he was doing stories like Willowbrook, and he was doing, even when he went over to NBC and was doing his show on CNBC, I thought he was a very, very good talk show host. He had good guests. He asked probing questions.
He was a good journalist. Bit of a loudmouth, very, very much so.
I think he's different from yours, you
kind of stay neutral. Again, you remind me of Cavett. When you and him are on together, it's like almost like two long lost brothers.
Yeah, but Geraldo's become
confrontational, but yeah, again, very smart. You don't have to like him, you just listen and you're going to learn something.
Yeah, but Geraldo has become different on Fox because, as many people have said, he's kind of the lone liberal-minded person there. So every time he goes on, the conservative argues with him. So he's not a host there. He's a guest, and when you're a guest, you're getting asked questions, and I think it brings about a strong response. I liked him better as a host. I liked him.
Geraldo will certainly garner controversy. He causes you to think, and that's what we need to do. We need to think about our viewpoints and just make the world better by our presence. The Landon story, that's really getting pretty serious.
I just gave people the update.
I mean, he's a public servant, you know, and we don't expect perfection, but we do expect public servants to do their job. And I'm really, really concerned about that. I don't know. What you were talking about earlier in the hour, Scott, was pretty disconcerting. I don't know what to say. I don't think I know enough about the situation, but I wasn't overly pleased by what's transpiring.
I don't know any more than what's been on the air, but I wanted to make sure that I emailed both he and the mayor yesterday, because September 30th, and the date of September 30th was set in place. The mayor mentioned it on the show. It's on the clip playing every hour on the news report. And also, Martin Watts, the deputy auditor, gave that date to the Marion Star as a date that he thought he could have the books reconciled. So that's the only reason September 30th was a thing. And as I say, I emailed the mayor. I messaged Landon at the same time last night. The mayor responded probably within an hour to say that nothing has changed, and I have not heard from Landon yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to comment with, but people in public office need to do their job. They need to answer correspondences, and let's see what develops.
We'll see what happens.
That's best I can do for you, Scott. But again, happy birthday to the aforementioned people. And time marches on. Let's hope the third quarter of 2021 is a great one.
Thanks, Adam.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, it's kind of like Willard Scott here this morning, the late Willard Scott. Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter, 97. Now, see, I'm sticking with 31 on Mary Ellen. And I'm not saying, well, I did say she would get angry at Adam about that. Maybe she doesn't care anymore at this point. But I do know, and she said this on the air, that they treated women a lot differently in politics in those days than they treated men. They would always put their age in there. So I know she had a thing about that for quite a while. And she's mentioned that on the show. It's not like I'm talking out of school with that. So I was not going to mention the age. But, you know, you can Google anything now. Although I'm not sure that Google is always right. That's a point I'd like to make. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. I never say people's ages unless I know that they're okay with it. Because age, you know, most people think people are sensitive about age because they're afraid of getting older. I don't really think that's why people are sensitive about age. I think they're sensitive about age because when you do it in a public way, why are you putting that? Why is that part of the story? If I'm doing a story on somebody here who we haven't talked about. If I'm doing a story on Shecky Green's comedy career, what relevance does his current age have to do with him being a legendary comedian? But they always put it in there. And I don't know if that means they're over the hill. I don't know if that's supposed to mean that look how long they've been around. I don't know if that's supposed to mean, I don't know what it means. I really don't know why the age is always put in there. Now, I can understand birthdays, but I don't understand why they put the age in constantly when it comes to stories that seemingly would have nothing to do with age. Also, we're running the Halloween poems on the station. Hope you enjoy those every hour. Now, that's part of our literacy program here at the station. I think poems are a lost art, so every hour, except for the hours we do the obituaries, you will hear a poem, a Halloween poem, or fall poem, as read by Mr. McFeely, David Newell, Golden Voice Ted Williams, Charlie Evers, Martha Dallas, Mary Ann Michaels, Mary Ellen Withrow, Robert Guillaume, Bud Collins, myself, Hugh Downs, Estelle Parsons, and Marla Gibbs. So, you're going to hear a Halloween poem this hour if you haven't heard one yet. They all started last night. Well, I'll be back here in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about Geraldo, then get into the giveaways. So get ready here on WWGH Radio for a great day.
I got so lonely, I didn't think you was coming back. So I got up and I ate the bologna.